Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic growth, balanced income, select growth and income programs, My 401k, disciplined equity. These are the diversified programs designed to meet your goals and life situation. See more about them on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the Investments tab. And now today's InvestTalk podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is December 1st, 2016, and we're all about above-average investing for the average investor. We're here to teach. That's what I'd like to do. We're here every day, weekday anyways, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. And, we want to talk about money management and answer any questions and offer some ideas about money management. And today, you realize there's $50 trillion of cash on the sidelines. $50 trillion are in cash on the sidelines, earning next to nothing. And the question is, can this be good for the stocks and gold? Can it be good for them? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. We're counting down to our wealth webinar coming up next Wednesday. It's in the evening at 6:30 Pacific time. It's 1 hour, 6:30 to 7:30. How to Prosper in a Year of Change, 2017. We will show you how to capitalize on economic and political shifts in the coming year. Obviously, we're going to have a big political shift here in the U.S., right? Investing is all about looking ahead, right? You always want to look in the windshield, not in the rearview mirror. Okay, we've learned that over and over. I mean, it just makes complete sense. So how are you going to invest in 2017? You're just going to stay where you are? Well, that's not a bad thing. We're not trying to tell you it's wrong, depending on what you're in, of course. But there's going to be different kinds of risk and different kinds of opportunities next year, 2017. We're going to talk about how global politics can disrupt markets, how central bank policy that is changing here in the U.S. and around the world, how that's going to help or hurt. Explain why you should maybe move from growth stocks to value stocks, growth investing to value investing, and things like that. That's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to do it pretty quick because we're going to squeeze a three-hour seminar into 1 hour. So it's always difficult to do that. So that's what we're going to discuss. One of the things we're going to show you is maybe give you some lessons on how to find those value stocks, those diamonds in the rough, so to speak, that aren't overvalued, because the market certainly is overvalued. There's no way that any rational analyst, investor can look at the overall stock market and say it's not overvalued. It's clearly overvalued. Now, can it get much more of a value? Certainly can. It did in 2000, 1999, 1997, 98, 99, and then finally broke in March of 2000. So it can, sure, certainly. But I don't know when that is, and no one knows. No one knows, so you can't guess there. So, and that's probably why there's $50 trillion of money on the sidelines. Just think about that, $50 trillion on the sidelines. Now, our goal with the webinar is to help you manage risk and enhance your returns. That's the goal. You can sign up now. It's 1 hour. It's a live webinar. It's free, but you do need to register. Attendance is limited. Limited. So just go to investtalk.com and look for webinar. Now, let's open the discussion to include you. As always, we're up for any money questions you might have. Let's begin with the Q&A portion of the program. And again, we have, our number is always open, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. I was wondering if you could discuss different tools to determine when a stock is at fair value in light of conflicting information. For example, I own a stock that has a five-year PE range of 7 through 30 and is currently at 7. That would indicate an upward path. On the flip side, it has an RSI of 72 and declining EPS forecasts for the next year. What would you look at to break the deadlock? Thanks for a great show. Bye.
Okay, so he has a low range on the PE ratio of a stock. He has a low RSI, which is relative strength indicator. And, of course, that would make sense because it's low price. It's gone down. And the thing that's more important to me was he's saying that earnings per share next year is going down. The question you have to ask yourself, why is it going down? Why are earnings going down? Is it temporary or is it long term? Is it a tiny stock company, a tiny company, or is it a big blue chipper? Because bigger you are, the more you can make it through these hard times. The smaller you are, the more you can go under. What is the debt level? How much debt they have? If the debt is low, that's pretty positive. If it's a big company with low debt, and it looks like their earnings are because of some other reason other than fundamental, that not something, you know, they don't have a competitor taking away all their market share or whatever. These are the kinds of things you look at and say, okay, I need to jump in. For instance, if it was, I'm just going to give you, it's not ExxonMobil, but we're going to talk about ExxonMobil. If it was ExxonMobil at its five-year low PE range, earnings per share was going down because oil prices were down. If, you know, they don't have a lot of debt, they've been paying their dividend forever, and it's pretty high now because it's a low price. That's a value play. I would buy ExxonMobil. I would buy it. I'm not suggesting you buy it, everybody. I'm just saying if the answers to the questions that I have for him on that, you know, is it a value play, those questions are answered in the right way, then you jump in. The smaller the company, the higher the risk. Let's go to Matthew in Kansas. How you doing, Matthew?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for taking it. I was calling about, I had Taiwan Semiconductors a while back, and I was up pretty heavily, and it kept jogging up, so I kept watching it, and now it's come down. I think it's at a support level, but should I wait for the next support at about $24.90 from what I'm looking at, or do you pick some up now?
Okay, you are correct that it is at support level. TSM, everybody, is a symbol. Taiwan Semiconductor, it's an ADR. In other words, it's a Taiwan company traded on our New York Stock Exchange. And so this is a very good one in relationship with what we just talked about, Matthew. So it's a great, great, great call. The stock has fallen from $31.50, $32. Now it's at $28. Had a big down day, almost 4% down today. Okay, and it hit support, right at support. But, Matthew, I would wait. You don't know just because it hit one-day support. You want to make sure this is support, okay, so it doesn't fall down to the next support level, which you pointed out correctly, too. Now, is it a value play? Well, it's going to make $1.99 this year and $2.19 next year, so earnings are going up. How about sales? This most recent quarter, sales were up 30%. That's a huge turnaround from up being up only 3% the quarter before that and down 11% the quarter before that. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is the kind of stock you want to keep a close eye on, may want to pick up because it's getting cheap. It's a $28 stock with a $2.19 earnings next year. Well, that means it's only about a 12 PE. The five-year range is 9 to 18. So you can say, well, that's not at the bottom of that range, but has a great return on equity, great cash flow. So, Matthew, I think it's setting itself up to be a buy, but I don't think it's yet. You need to wait to see where it settles down first. Okay?
Okay, do you think the dividend is safe right at 3.4%?
Yes, it is, because it's a $148 billion company with a cash flow of $3.21. Yeah, the dividend's safe. And very little debt.
All right.
Very little debt. I think it's a good one, Matthew. Just not yet, okay?
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate the call. TSM is a symbol, Taiwan Semiconductor. Taiwan's manufacturer of, you know, mixed signal and semiconductor company. It's huge. So, pretty good. Have you taken our free risk analysis quiz? It's an eye-opener. We talk about our personal risk tolerance. That's what it does. It determines how much risk tolerance you have. But how do you really know how much risk tolerance you have? That's what this does. It helps you do that. It's the first step in determining whether your portfolio matches your preference, your personal preference. When you're ready and can spare 3 minutes or so, just click on the Invest Talk tab and use our free risk analysis tool.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave. I'm a podcast listener from Pennsylvania. I was wondering if you could take a look at LendingTree for me. Ticker's TREE. I bought this a couple of weeks ago, right around 80 or just below. I wanted to get into the financials, and it really spiked up there. 30% gain. I did get a little nervous, so I took profit. Glad I did, but just wondering what your thoughts are on this, if you think it could still grow. It looks like about this time last year it hit 125 or so. Wondering if I should take another half position and another shot at it. I'm happy with the profit, but I just didn't expect it to go this fast. I'm more of a value kind of investor and watching it grow slowly. But again, I'm happy with the profit. Just wondering if you had any thoughts on LendingTree. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, I think you did the right thing. I really do. Symbol is TREE, LendingTree, Inc. Provides online lending services through LendingTree.com. It's a good, solid company. Going to make $3.20 this year, but that's after being down from $4.82 last year. Then rebound next year to $4.35. At least that's what it's saying. Sales are still growing very well. But why did I say that I think he did the right thing? Well, in August, it was about $110 a share, maybe 111, and then it fell all the way down to 77 in late October. And from late October till just 3 days ago, it went from 77 to 107. That is way too fast, and now it's starting to pull off that a little bit. It's 101 today, $101.65. I think it's going to pull back. I don't think it's time to get back into it. I think you need to give it a little bit breather. I think it's going to pull back right into the 90 area, 90, 91, 92, and I would wait. And if it doesn't, then I'd move on. It's a good, solid company, but there's going to be some headwinds. I don't think they'll be too heavy, but I think there's going to be a little bit of headwinds. You know, they provide online lending services. There's going to be headwinds in the mortgage business, but maybe not in other kind of business. So it's just going to be tougher. But you need to buy it right, and I think it's still too high. Wait for it to come back to you. And if it doesn't come back to you, move on to another stock. Let's go to Daniel in Berkeley. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hi, good. Having a good day. Listen to you religiously on 1220.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question about a stock I have a large position in. It's a commodity stock symbol, J-O. Uh-huh. I wanted to ask you, it's been bouncing around kind of up 10%, down 10%. I just wondered, I'm kind of wanting to hold it long-term, and is it a good, solid investment, or is this politics going on having to do with commodities? Or?
Yeah, I think it's a solid investment. It is an exchange-traded fund corresponding to Dow Jones, UBS Coffee, and Sub-Index Total Return of the Dow Jones U.S. Commodity Index. That's a mouthful. So I like to see what's in it. I mean, if is it dominated by coffee futures or something, and how it works. Go ahead.
Okay. It's primarily coffee, I believe.
Okay, so there's where your problem is. I don't mean to say a problem necessarily, but you're going to have to keep an eye on coffee because that's the issue in here. And that's going to be disruptive based on the Brazilian and other foreign growers' products. I mean, every year, you know, just like the farmers, is it good? Is it a good crop or a bad crop? We have too much or too little. So that, you know, that is what you're dealing with. I will say this. It looks like it's coming down to a good support figure, price of about $20, $21 or so, $20 maybe. So it's right in where it should stop falling. Let's put it that way. Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate it. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Any money questions is on the table. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week listener line number. 888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Andre Cupertino. How you doing, Andre?
Hey, Steve. Appreciate taking my call. Hey, question. Most of my portfolio, my 401k, I day trade and swing trade, but I do have a portion of it that I keep for long-term value investing. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Bristol Myers. I bought in what I thought was a good entry point a month ago after results came back from a cancer drug that they kind of did the testing wrong. And in retrospect, it looks like it's actually probably going to make it to market okay, but the stock took a huge hit, and it's just been suffering ever since. I just wanted to get your thoughts, the value play long-term on that.
Okay, and this is Bristol Myers, BMY, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you would consider that what you described to me was core holdings. You have a group of core holdings in your portfolio. And then you have Then you have others that you're just trading.
Exactly. Okay. Using technical analysis is probably 75% of my portfolio, but I do have a portion of it in value investing, high, you know, dividend-paying stocks as a core portfolio, exactly as you described.
Okay, then Bristol Myers Squibb is probably a pretty darn good choice for a core holding. It's a $93 billion company, so it's big. Pays a nice-sized dividend, 2.7%. Earnings are going to grow up 42% this year, 4% next year. Sales have been increasing the last three quarters. It's not necessarily a cheap stock, I'll say that, Andrew, because it's a $55.80 stock. It's going to make almost $3 next year. So that's about, you know, 18 PE, 19. So it's not cheap, because it being cheap would be around 13. That would be the five-year low. But has a great return on equity at 23%. Doesn't have much debt. It's a really good, solid core holding. And if you look, if you're a technician, tell me if you don't see a island bottom. Do you know what that is, Andre?
I do, but I haven't really been following. I don't follow my core holdings. I kind of leave alone.
Okay. Well, let me just.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it looks like an island bottom. And for those people who don't know what we're talking about, usually we talk about, when we're talking about technicals, is island tops, which are very negative. That means but this is an island bottom, which I think might be good, could be very good. I kind of like it right here. So I think as a core holding, I don't think you can go wrong with Bristol Myers. I don't.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
Appreciate the call. Also, when you're looking at a drug company, Bristol Myers develops branded pharmaceuticals, you always want to look at the pipeline. Remember, he talked about, you know, some drugs that are being evaluated and had some problems. And this stock was selling for $76 in August. Here it is, $55. It got as low as $50. A little bit lower than that. I kind of like it. I kind of like it where it is. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, we need to talk about $50 trillion of cash sitting on the sidelines. Is that good for stocks and gold? Of course it is. Of course it is. $50 trillion. Everybody's been freaking out about the market. They're scared. Okay, that's okay. $50 trillion. Think of it as like ammunition. Now, what's going to bring that money back into the market? That's the key. What will bring the money back? It's hard to know what that will be, but it could be. So don't think it won't come back. It probably will come back to some degree or another. No one wants to buy bonds either. So there's a lot of that money is bond money. So what is going to bring it back? Let me give you a little hint how much needs to come back to have an impact on gold. Okay, and I'm not a big gold person, as you know. I have it. I own a number of it, but I'm not that big of a gold person. Okay, let's assume the price of gold is about $1,300 an ounce, which is less than that right now. Okay, and gold mined globally since the beginning of time is worth about $7.5 trillion. All the gold ever mined. And most of that gold, of course, is either locked up in central banks' vaults or in jewelry, right? Now, let's consider for a moment about what would happen if just 1% of that $50 trillion came in to gold. That would be $500 billion. That's 2.5 times the $200 billion annual market for gold. You don't have to be a math genius to figure this out. What will 50? Just 1% of that $50 trillion, if that went into gold, That would be 2.5 times more than the $200 billion annual market for gold. 2.5 times. So I'm just pointing out that that $50 trillion, it's going to go somewhere at some point. I have a feeling it's going to act as a cushion for the market. When I say that, I mean, if the market starts to fall hard, this people are going to put this money to work saying, I'm going to buy bargains now. I'm finally going to get a bargain. And that'll hold the market up. I don't see the market crashing. What I see is corrections, and then they'll be bounced off of from all this money that's sitting out there. That's my theory. We'll see how it works out, right? I'm not always right. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk. We'll be talking with Daniel in San Diego, then you next.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. In case we haven't mentioned it, KPP Financial serves clients all across the U.S. If you'd like to have Steve review your retirement portfolio personally, you'll be ahead of the game. Steve carves out a few hours each month to meet with our podcast subscribers on Skype or telephone. It can be a very educational hour. To set up a time, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review. Listening to Invest Talk for Thursday, December 1st. One popular choice for tax-free growth of retirement savings is a Roth IRA. Another option for new savers is a MIRA. No 401k at work? What about a MIRA? That's one of our talking points next time. For your talking point right now, check in at 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Well, let's go talk to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Good, Steve. Good afternoon. I've been looking at the shippers for a couple months here, and they've been going sideways. I was wondering what forward numbers you have on TK.
Okay, sure. TK Tankers, everybody. They're out of Bermuda. Provides international crude oil and petroleum production transportation services with a fleet of 65 owned and chartered tankers. Okay? It's going to acquire 12 modern Suez Max tankers from here shortly. So announce that.
Yep.
So, looking at the numbers, unfortunately, the most recent quarter, the sales numbers fell 17%. Before that, it was all growth. So for the net result this year, it showed growth in sales, but the most recent quarter showed a shrinkage. I'm not sure why. They're going to make 52 cents this year, after making $1.35 last year. But it's a very, TK and all the tankers are very erratic on their profits. They always are.
Right.
52 cents this year, then 61 cents next year. That means that $2.28 that this stock is probably pretty healthily undervalued. Very undervalued. Uh-huh. And it has a really good return on equity. If you're going to speculate, this would be a good one to speculate on. It is a micro cap, Dan. In other words, very small. So you got to live with the real. It's going to be a radical mover for you, right?
They've got a lot of debt.
Yes, they do. They have a lot of debt. That's the bugaboo. But I've noticed these tankers always seem to have a lot of debt.
I guess
I guess the tankers are so expensive. I don't know why. Has a decent dividend, 5.3%.
That's what caught my interest in the first place. So, all righty. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck with it, Dan. Yeah, it was selling for $8 here not that long ago. I mean, we're talking about, 2015? $8. Now it's $2.28. And remember what it transports? Oil. Be nice if the world started to grow again instead of just us, and that would help them greatly. Because the world grows, people use more oil. Oil prices move up, and it might help it because OPEC has lowered prices. Maybe that'll help it, but I don't think so. I think you need growth for it to TNK to really take off. 888-99-CHART. So, did you hear that Guess, the store, the clothing store, they're closing 50 stores in the U.S.? Why that? Now, I would normally say, well, it's probably just guess. Maybe they're having financial problems, or their sales are going down, or they have unperforming stores. But if you take a little deeper look, you also will note that Gap did the same thing, is doing the same. Macy's is doing the same thing. They're shutting down stores. What's driving this? Because you can say, well, of course it's sales. Their sales are going down. That's the problem. Uh-huh, I know that. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. We also know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that it's being driven by online sales. So, because those have been increasing dramatically. So, when you're thinking about buying clothiers or mall or stores, think about what's happening in the world. And the world is all about Amazon and online shopping these days. Think about, does that mean maybe you shouldn't be thinking about owning malls? Have you seen the foot traffic in malls? Not too hot. It's gone down over the recent years. I was talking to my niece the other day. She's an adult niece. And I said, we were walking around I was taking her shopping, and we were walking around an outlet mall. And there was hardly anybody in the outlet mall also. And I said, have you ever thought about the malls are going to die? And I said that, I say that figuratively. They're going to have to metamorphose into something else. Now, when I say that, I'm saying they still will be there and they'll still be shopping. But that shopping is going to be one part of the mall. They're going to have to change. They're going to have to change. They're going to have entertainment. You know, it's got to be an entertainment center. It's got to be some kind of draw other than just shopping. Of course, obvious is movies is one. Movie theaters, we know that. What else could it do? You know, restaurants is another. That's what it could be. But maybe, out here in the West, and I don't know if everybody knows the West that well, but the Irvine Spectrum, which is a big outdoor mall, they have a Ferris wheel. They have, they have different things to do attracting people. They have lots of restaurants, they have food courts, they have a huge theater complex, and it's right across the street from some huge apartment buildings. You got to think, why are these stores closing? People are going into the stores, they're looking online and buying the stuff online instead of buying the stuff in the stores. So don't fall in love with the malls. Think about the stores you're buying. Be very careful. Now, what's interesting is Amazon is actually building brick-and-mortar stores. It's just a thing that they're destroying. They're building some. What's going on there? We at KPB Financial are convinced that there is a way for the average investor to manage their 401k using My 401k. This is a system called My 401k. Helps to solve that problem, the selection of the funds problem. What are you going to buy? We believe this new system can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor. So, try to help you make informed decisions, informed choices, because we tie this in with our risk analysis tools. How much risk do you want to take? To find out more about it, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Do you know the difference between term life and whole life or universal life? When you sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you gain instant access to an entire library of info sheets, each one prepared by the KPP staff to be informative and straight to the point. Plain talk about important money matters. It's completely free. You get checked in right there on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, this is John from Walnut Creek. I have a question about ETFs. If you have high-frequency traders that buy and sell massive volumes of a particular ETF at a time, does that affect the price of the ETF more than the underlying assets within that ETF? And would that subject the price of that ETF to having more volatile swing? I was just curious as to which affects the price of an ETF more. Thank you. You have a great show. Bye-bye.
That's a very good question. If you think about it for a while, remember, an exchange-traded fund is supposed to reflect the net asset value of its holdings, right? Exchange-traded fund is supposed to reflect the net asset value of its holdings. And an exchange-traded fund could be bought and sold during the day like a stock, not unlike a mutual fund, which is only can trade after hours at the closing price, and you can buy it. He's asking, since it can trade like a stock, and it's supposed to reflect the net asset value, can it reflect the net asset value constantly if there's a massive amount of buying and selling during the day? Very good question, because you're understanding what will drive the value of that thing is the underlying assets, but here is an ETF that's got to buy and sell the underlying assets instantly, right, as they be bought and sold. So I don't necessarily have a very good answer, by the way, because I have never looked into it, but I would suspect that it means that the net asset value would be falling behind because it's so difficult. There has to be a mechanism for them to continually buy and sell stocks to reflect the buy and sell of the buy and sell in ETF. But what if the there is a possibility that the ETF could not reflect the net asset value of the underlying assets? What if everybody wanted out all at the same time, sold all that? You take a small ETF, and that ETF only buys and sells a small cap stock. What if everybody all of a sudden in one day decided to sell all the ETF? Everybody get out. The problem with that is there's always got to be someone on the other end. It would drive down the price. And wouldn't that affect the value of all those stocks it's holding? Very interesting. See, all these massive ETFs have never been stress tested, let's say that. Never been had the extreme stress tested. So far, they've done very, very well as far as staying with the net asset value. So I don't want to panic anybody, but it's a very good question and one I'm not sure of the answer, but a very good question. I need to find that out myself. That's interesting. 888-99-CHART. Why didn't the stock market pop up when the OPEC announced its news the other day? It worries me that, you know, we've had a very strong run up in the market, but not this week. We had a weird market today. The Dow was up 68, the Nasdaq down 73, and the S&P down 8. Very weird. So when the market does not go up on good news, because isn't that good news? It was good news for oil stocks. Oil stocks popped up 8-9%. Why wouldn't it be good news for the entire market? News, you know, the market topped last week, okay? News, good news drives markets up. When they start not to affecting the market is trying to say something. Remember, the market has its own language that you have, you know, it's very difficult to figure out. I think the market is trying to say something to us. I think it's saying you need to be cautious in the short term because it's had a huge run up since Trump was elected, and therefore maybe we're going to give back some of those gains because it's overbought. You got overbought, oversold markets, and this one is overbought. I'm not saying it's going to crash. I told you. Well, besides there's $50 trillion in cash sitting on the sideline, it's not going to crash. But it certainly can have a little correction here to try to get rid of some of this overbought situation. And remember, the market is overvalued. At the same time, the things that Trump has announced he's going to do is supportive of the market. Cutting taxes, if he does that. Spending more money on military, spending more money on infrastructure. If he does that, then the market will like those three things. But we'll see. We don't know what he's actually going to do, do we? Good, interesting things going on. We're going to have some fascinating 2017, I think. 888-99-CHART. Let's get back to the phones. Lila called from San Francisco.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I I'd like to get your advice on how to distribute my 401k. I've been putting in a maximum on my 401k for the past 16 years, and I'm planning to, I want to retire maybe 3-4 years sooner if I could afford it. What do you think, how would I distribute it? I'm 58.
Okay, well, we have to figure out how much do you need of that money. This is a pretty long conversation that you're asking. How much money do you need of the 401k? And you know, how much money you typically, just so you know, you can take out about 4-4.5%. That's the rule of thumb out of your money if it's invested conservatively, and you should not run out of money. 4-4.5% a year. How much money do you need per month? How much money do you have? You know, so you have to figure out all your income in retirement and all your expenses in retirement. What is it? This is one of the reasons why you hear me harp on pay off your mortgage before you retire. I'm trying to reduce your expenses because you have a certain amount of income coming in. So I can't tell you how to distribute it. It's easy. You just take the money out. You call, if you're fully invested, you have to sell something and tell them to send you a check. It's the custodian, whoever's holding on to it. Your 401k should be rolled into an IRA somewhere if you no longer work there. And wherever that is, you can roll an IRA into your local bank. You can load it into a mutual fund, a TD Ameritrade, a Scottrade, E-Trade, almost anywhere. And then if you want distributions, you could set it up where they'll, you know, I do it for my clients all the time. They take out a check every month. So I instruct the custodian to send them a check every month out of their money. I just make sure the cash is there. You can do it every quarter. You can do a lump sum once a year. It's easy. How to distribute is easy. It's whether or not, it's how much, and whether or not you're going to eat into your principal and eventually run out of money. That's the hard question that you got to ask. And if you're not sure, give me a call. I'll go over the numbers with you. We'll go over your, but I'm going to have to ask you questions about your personal finances. Good question, though. Be very careful about taking too much money out. It's got to last many. If you're in your 50s, you may have to last you 30, 40 years. So, yeah, it's a long time. 888-99-CHART. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, president of Klein Pavlis Peasley, a registered investment advisor firm. We've got another segment left. We'll take time for your call if you call right now. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line number, and we're here for you.
Hi, I had a question about Lam Research. I was looking to buy it, and I was looking at the fundamentals, and I know you guys are really good at looking at those and analyzing better than I can. I was wondering if you think this is a good company to buy?
Research got really hit today, down 7% for the week, but got hit hard today from 105 or so down to 98. So that's a lot in one week. That's most of the loss for the week. That's a lot for the day, and that was most of the loss for the week. Something's going on. You have to figure out why that happened. I was trying to pull it up in the various news articles to figure out, well, what's going on? Why did it get hit so hard? And it's hard. I can't do everything real fast, as fast as I would like to, because I have to do the research. Lam Research, the company, LRCX is a symbol, is headquartered in Fremont, manufactures etch and cleaning systems used in wafer fabrication equipment. You need to find out why it took this big hit today. Was it earnings? Was it a downgrade by analysts? What was it? And it will take me a little bit of time, and I'm not able to do it. I will say this, sales are pretty small, 2-4% growth. That's not a lot. And the price of the stock, you're going to make $8 next year, and it's a $98 stock. So its 5-year average is 10 to 22 on the PE average. So 10 times $8 is $80. So it may well go to $80 on its low PE. And I would wait to see why, I find out why it fell so hard today. If this is a one-time situation, or is it something that's fundamental to the company? Growth is going to slow. They lost a huge contract. What? It's a $16 billion company. So it's a big company. This is a big hit. Big companies don't take this kind of hit for nothing. So you got to find out why. Remember, it was down $7 today. $7.44. What was it down? Yeah, man. It took a hit today. I got to find out why. I like Lam Research long term, but it's still a little pricey. I think you got to wait. LRCX is the symbol, everybody. LRCX. Okay. I read an article that I thought was interesting today, and I don't know how interesting it would be to you, but you know, I've always thought, you know, because of the huge hype about organic food, is it healthier? Is it good for you? Is it any different than any other food? I don't know. I didn't know. And I'm still not sure. I don't know. Pew Research found that 40% of Americans say that they buy organic food, and 75% of those do so because they think it's healthier, which makes sense, right? Well, Stanford University reviewed 237 top research papers about this, on this very topic. Is it healthier? And they found no evidence of any significant difference. Okay, so it's not necessarily healthier. Well, what about maybe it's safer? There's no facts to show that it's safer either. So then I'm thinking, well, how come it's so popular? What makes everybody want it? And I think it's all marketing. I think it's marketing that's doing it, not facts. And they even said that, you know, when you say it's organic, a lot of organic food is labeled organic, but it's from outside this country. How well do we really know that? Something that's just interesting. I think we got to rethink this and make sure that we're doing the right thing. And do you know they allow copper sulfite to be used in growing organic food? Copper sulfite is pretty toxic. I don't know. Just interesting. Interesting facts. I like facts. I'm a facts guy. I know I have friends who swear by it, you know, but I've never been opposed to it or for it. I don't know. You know, I buy what I think looks good, and if it's organic, great. If it's not, great. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting facts. Our time's up for the hour. A reminder to sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up on December 7th at 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. How to Prosper in a Year of Change 2017. It's free, but you do need to register on investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. We'll be here tomorrow. Why don't you join us again then?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.